if you forgot or if you didn't know that we were eating today, your nose told you when we came in, I'm sure. So we're going to eat together. We look forward to that time and hope you'll stay and be with us, even if you fail to bring something. Or if you're a guest, we'd love to have you stay with us today. Outlines for this morning's lesson are in the bulletin inserted there on the table or the pedestal in the foyer. So if you fail to get one of those and you need to as we begin, be sure and do that. This morning, we look at the subject of failures of the Pharisees. Failures of the Pharisees. There are three principal groups that assembled or that were present in the day of our Lord. Other splinter groups from them, but the three major groups were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. The Essenes were the smallest of this group, about 4,000 in the day of the Lord. They were a very strict and conservative group. They were ascetics, which means that they abused the body. They had the idea that whatever was pleasing to the flesh was condemned by God. And so anything that they considered pleasurable, they were in opposition to it. And so monasteries, monks, those of later times would have that same idea of asceticism. So that if you got pleasure out of some food, then you shouldn't be eating it. Kind of like the diet the doctor puts you on sometime. If it tastes good, spit it out. So that's what the ascetics, the Essenes, did. They were very strict in their religious convictions. The Sadducees were fewer in number than the Pharisees. They, of course, were the more liberal party of their day. They were composed mainly of the upper echelon of the priesthood. They were anti-supernaturalists. The Bible tells us they didn't believe in demons or in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. And so Jesus had to overcome both of these groups as well as that third group, the Pharisees. Pharisees were the largest of these groups. They were the ultra-conservatives of their day. Their name derived from the Greek word, which means to separate. So they were the separated ones, in their minds the exalted ones. Read a great deal about the Pharisees. They were very meticulous concerning the law. They, as Jesus would later say about them, make broad their phylacteries. Phylactery was a box. You can look up on the internet. Modern day Jews that are Orthodox will have many of them phylacteries, a box on their forehead, which they tie behind their head. And in that box is contained scripture. And so the more the tradition grew, the bigger the box, the more religious and righteous a person, the more pious an individual was seen to be. They regarded, that is the Pharisees did, they regarded their tradition on par, if not above, Scripture itself. And it's for that reason that Jesus often condemned the Pharisees because of this. So it is into this world, into the world of the Essenes, this small but very pious group, the Sadducees, which were very liberal in their thinking and didn't believe there to be spirits or angelic beings and so forth. And then there were the Pharisees, who were considered themselves to be upper crust, up above everyone else, who held to their traditions more so than they held to the Word of God. Jesus chastising the Pharisees is often found, of course, in the gospel records. He chastised others as well, the scribes and the lawyers. But for the most part, the Pharisees received the brunt of his chastisement. That chastisement is for good reasons. They deserved everything we would say that they got. Let's notice this morning then briefly a few things about the failures of these people called the Pharisees. First, they talked a better religion than they practiced. They taught a better religion than they practiced. Matthew 23:2-3, the Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a King James Version that has the words of the Lord in red, these are in red. And they are red for a reason. Not just because the Lord said them, but because of the hostility that is there between the Pharisees and the Lord. But notice what he said about them. These scribes, these Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. They were the lawyers that composed the Supreme Court of that day, the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers. The Sanhedrin was located near the temple building. It was sometimes referred to as the House of Judgment. In that building. It was an ornate building. It was composed of 71 seats that were arranged in a semicircle. And the high priest would sit in the prime seat. That was called the seat of judgment. When Jesus said, then the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, they occupied those places which were reserved for those who were the head of the Sanhedrin. But notice what else he said about them. He said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now this, of course, had to be tempered with the law itself. The traditions which they had come up with were not a part of the law. And at the time of Jesus, as we mentioned earlier, those traditions had risen many times and many instances above the law itself. They valued their traditions more than they did what the law actually said. And so the things that they commanded, which were contained in the law, were to be followed. In other words, even a bad person can tell something that is true. And so it was with these Pharisees and the scribes, the lawyers that sat there. When they told you what the law contained, Jesus said, obey that. Not because they said it, but because the law prescribed it. And that was to be followed because it was law, and not because it was of the Pharisees. So they sit in Moses' seat. Whatever they tell you to do, that observe and do. Of course, that which is contained in the law. But then he said, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. They were hypocritical, and Jesus brought this to your attention. Here was the point of contention. They talked long and hard about godliness, but they failed in obeying that which they so strictly upheld, at least in presence or in their mind's eye. They were the ones who upheld the law, but yet they were the ones who weren't keeping the law. And so when we look at the Pharisees, they talked a better religion than they practiced. Is that the case with us? Do we talk a better religion than we practice? Sometimes each of us, of course, is hypocritical in our lives because we do not do the things that we say we ought to do. And we read our Bibles and we see things that ought to be done in our lives and yet we fail to do them. And so we should take great heed lest we be like the Pharisees in talking a better religion than we practice. Second, they judged others harshly while excusing themselves. They judged others harshly while excusing themselves. Matthew 23 and verse 4, Jesus said, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In Matthew 15:1-9, we find an occasion when Jesus again was chastising these Pharisees because of their lack of obedience to the will of God, and yet their desire to be seen as such as some who are doing just that. In Matthew 15 and verse 2, for example, why do thy disciples, the Pharisees ask him, transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. This is not a sanitary measure. This was a tradition that the Pharisees had. You've seen on television when a surgeon will go in and will dip his hands in some antiseptic after he's washed his hands, and then he will turn off the faucet with his elbow. That dipping pictures for us what these Pharisees call for. In their traditions, they were to dip in water. It wasn't for sanitation. It was a tradition. And so the disciples of Jesus had not followed that tradition. They had not dipped their hands in water in that ceremonial fashion. And so these Pharisees asked Jesus about that. Why is it that they do not practice the traditions when they eat bread? In verse 3, Jesus said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Jesus turned the tables on them. He said, your traditions transgress the very law of God in so many ways, and he would give them an example of that. He said to them in verses 7 to 9, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah, that should be Matthew 15 and not Matthew 5, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouths and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They draw nigh to me with their mouth. Again, it applies like we spoke of earlier. They talked a better religion than they practiced. They draw nigh with me with their mouth. They honoreth me with their lips. Their voices say one thing, and their hearts say something else, Jesus was saying. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They were wedded to their traditions. Those traditions had arisen, as we said earlier, to at least an equal standing with the law itself, and in many cases, above the law. So much so that they didn't even recognize the Christ that the prophets had spoken of. He was there before them. Here he was, deity in the flesh, the Messiah that the prophets had spoken of. But they were so clouded by their traditions and by their desires rather than God's desires that they failed even to see him. But note the reactions involved in this case. The apostles were concerned because the Pharisees were offended. Then came his disciples and said unto him, on this occasion when Jesus spoke such things against them, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Notice we have the disciples then who come to Jesus and say, you know, you've offended the Pharisees. You've offended those people, and they could, you know, they could do some harm to you. So they were concerned with the Pharisees and what Jesus had said to them, that it hurt their feelings. But then we notice the Pharisees. The Pharisees were offended. They were offended by that which the Lord said. And so they didn't have any concern for Jesus' words. They still clung to their traditions. But then notice the third attitude in this. Jesus, of course, was appalled by their stubbornness. Here, the disciples were concerned they were offended. The Pharisees themselves were offended, but notice the words of Jesus. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You see, Jesus was not too concerned with their feelings. They were hurt by what Jesus said. The apostles said to him, you know, you offended the Pharisees. The Pharisees were offended. But Jesus said, just leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. Some people simply will not stand with reason. Isaiah 1:18, Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. We're to use our common sense. We mentioned before, there's revealed sense, common sense, and then nonsense. Nonsense is the failure to use either of the other two. But when we look at revealed sense and use our common sense, reason about that, then we arrive at truth and those indications that are given in truth so that we can do so. So Jesus said to them, they judge others harshly, but fail to examine themselves, blind leaders of the blind. But third, they trusted their own merits instead of the one they were obeying. Trusted their own merits instead of trusting in the one that they claimed to obey. In Matthew 23, continuing in this context, but all their works, Jesus said, they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. There's the word that we talked about earlier, those boxes containing scripture. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garments. Those outward appearances would serve to show people they were pious. You think about modern-day religions. You think about the pomp and circumstance and ceremony of the Catholic religion and how there's such circumstance with all of the different candles and the different incense and the different collars and the different robes and so on that are worn. So it was in this day with Jesus. And he said they love the uppermost room at feast, the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. Today, men assume names and titles such as Father, religiously, such as Reverend or Pastor or some other name or title that would exalt them. Many wear robes or collars or other distinctive clothing. Jesus said about these Pharisees, they trusted in their own merits instead of the one that they claimed to trust in. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. First, let's look at verses 11 and 12 of Matthew 23. But he that is greatest among you, Jesus said, shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, the Bible says he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the one a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, Jesus said, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Here is an illustration that plays into this idea of their trusting in their own merits. Notice what he said about this individual in Luke 18:9. spake this parable unto certain, notice, that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. The ultimate looked down their nose upon those individuals who were not a part of their clique, who were not a part of their exalted group, and so they trusted in themselves. Further in Luke 18 and verse 11, the Pharisee stood, notice, and prayed thus with himself. His words were hollow. We would say his prayer didn't rise above the ceiling. Did God hear it? Yes. But to answer it, no. God was aware of what this man was doing, but he was in no wise listening to him with the intent of hearing his plea. He prayed, in essence, with himself then. But also, he said, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican, he said. But notice what he said. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In two short sentences, he used the word I five times to demonstrate his religious superiority, to present to God the idea that, well, I'm a lot better than this publican over here. I'm not like that man is. He prayed to God, but he did not trust in God. He trusted in his own merits. This was typical of the Pharisees. What about us? Maybe at times we utter prayers to God, but then we try to figure out on our own how we resolve the issue. We need to trust in the one that we claim to trust in and not in our own merits. What about the Pharisees? They narrowed down the law to what they could keep. They narrowed down the law to what they could keep. The first part of Matthew 23 and verse 23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." Here are spices. We are familiar with these spices, but they tithe those individual spices. Fasting, making long prayers, and tithing their possessions was all specific and measurable, and that could also be seen by men. They were emphasizing that in their lives. Maybe they didn't realize they were doing it, but they were. Whatever could be seen of men, they placed an emphasis on. In tithing and doing their tithing, they were careful to include every tenth mint leaf and every tenth dill seed. But they failed in the weightier matters. Now, those things were good. Jesus said, these things ought you to have done, not to leave the other undone. They trusted, they narrowed down the law that which they could keep. It's easy enough for someone walking by to see them dividing their seeds or their mint leaves or to make long prayers for pretense. When men could see them, they emphasized those things. But what they were commanded to do with the heart, they failed in doing it. These things were good for them to do, but their problem was that they left that which is required by God alone and accepted only these things, these minor matters, majoring on the minors, and failing to do what the Lord had them to do in the more weightier matters of the law. But then hand in hand with that, they left out the tough parts. Not only did they narrow it down to what they could keep, but they left out the parts that were a little more difficult. That's where we would say the rubber meets the road. At the end of verse 23, he said, "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." They omitted true and proper justice. They neglected mercy. They passed over the faith that God had commanded of them. They practiced pick-and-choose religion. It reminds us of many in the religious world, and sadly some within the church, even today. They were absorbed with formalities. They forgot about people. We can get overwhelmed with that ourselves and be so engaged in formalities we forget about people. That's something that elderships have a continual concern about, becoming too formal and forgetting the real reason that we are here to start with. We have to be careful concerning those matters. You know, we can teach and preach about baptism, weekly observance of the Lord's Supper, congregational autonomy, a cappella singing, and so forth, but we should be careful lest we forget about other matters. Visiting the sick, caring for the needy, teaching others, strengthening the brethren, recognizing our own need for the love and mercy of God. These things the Pharisees had failed to do, but they held to those matters which they could see and which others could see in them. What do we know about these Pharisees? We know that there are many lessons we can learn from them, and most of those lessons from their attitude and actions, which were not very good. We must not only speak truth, we must live it. We are spokesmen for God, We tell his message to those about us, but we also have to live it. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. We must look to ourselves first and foremost. We have to do what we say and say what we do. We have to look to ourselves first and foremost. Look within before teaching others. But we also must trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. Many times we perhaps have the idea that we are pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Our obedience is not doing that. Our obedience is the answer to the call of God. Essential? Yes. But still, His grace is the only means whereby we're saved. Our obedience to Him allows His grace to flow unto us. And so we have to trust in the Lord and not ourselves. But also we must accept and obey all of God's commands. Not pick and choose. Not do the things that God would have us to do on the one hand. But when the going gets tough, we simply lay those things aside. Among those, teaching and practicing regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Regarding withdrawal of fellowship and other matters regarding church discipline. Many times those are difficult to do, but we must, of course, be obedient in every realm. And, of course, then we cannot pick and choose the commands that we want and that we want to obey. A lot of lessons we can learn from the Pharisees. These are just some of them. In many ways, the Pharisees reflect modern religion. Here was a people that said and did not. Here was a people that had portions of the law that they would teach, and yet they would negate that with their actions and with their tradition that they brought to the scene. Jesus said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. We have to take heed of our lives. This Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray. I thank you, I'm not like other men are. Extortion is unjust, even like this lowly publican. I do so many things. Look at what I'm doing, Lord. But look at him. You know, Paul told those of Corinth that we measure ourselves by ourselves and compare ourselves with ourselves. We're doing that which is not wise. But we do that on occasion like this. Look at the Pharisees and see the good qualities they had and also the bad qualities. We need to know right and to do right. This morning, if you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, to know right is one thing. To know that you need to believe Jesus to be the Son of God, to know that you need to repent of your sins, to know that you need to confess your faith in Christ, to know that you need to be baptized for the remission of sins is one thing, but then to do that is something else. Maybe today you've never obeyed the gospel. If not, that's your greatest need this very hour. If you're a member of the body of Christ, we know that we must walk faithful to Him, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We know that we need to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. But to know those things and yet not do them, we in essence can be compared to these Pharisees. This morning, do you need to make a change in your life by obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian, or by returning to faithfulness if you've walked away from the light and into the darkness? Can we assist you in doing that this morning? Don't be like the Pharisees, to know and yet not do. To trust in your own merits rather than the one you should be depending on. This morning, if we can assist you in obeying heaven's invitation, then we urge you to come while we stand and while we sing together.